The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back as we head into Hour 3. It is a delight and it's a privilege. It's an honor to have two guests in studio today. They are co-hosts of a new podcast we're going to talk about. We'll talk about some policy. Some of you have heard before. This is a returning moment for you, Brandi Barclay. You've been on my show before, and you've Yes. hosted your own show in these studios before. Tina Hillstrom has been a guest of yours, but Tina, you've never been on my show before, so it's wonderful to have you both here with me this afternoon. Thanks.
I am not worthy.
No, I just love you. I'm Such one of your biggest fans.
We're so excited.
Yeah. Well, this is so fun. I'm excited about a new podcast you guys are launching. It's called The Clear View. Mm-hmm. Who would like to tell me the origin story first?
Oh, Tina, that's you.
Tina, well, the origin. Well, it actually it's like a group of girls, Devin DeVasquez, and I always pronounce her name incorrectly because it's got a Q and a U in it. So it's Devin.
It's Devin DeVasquez. Kez.
See?
There we go.
See?
Yeah. I used to.
Devin's Kez.
Anyway, moving on.
But we love her.
That's really interesting.
Yes. No, seriously. So,
fun with phonics on the Seth Leeson show in the third hour.
Yeah, tune into Clearview education. And we will go through the alphabet like Sesame Street.
Today's show is sponsored by the letter V and Q. And the numbers 3 and 4.
Like, oh my gosh.
If you want.
Yeah. Brandi, maybe you would like to tell
it. Okay, so we'll explain to you what. No, so this group of girls, Lee Courtney, Devin, Brandi, myself, and Connie Sunday, who's fabulous on any day of the week. We really love Arizona. We love America. We love politics. And her husband, Ron Moss, came up with this great idea. He's a former rock star and TV or soap opera star, and he
Rich
said,
Forrester, Rich Forrester from Bold and the Beautiful.
Bold and the Beautiful. And the Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes, we love it. And he said, "You girls should talk about what you love the most." And we love America, and we love Donald Trump, and we love that we want to help save the country, and we love Carrie Lake, and we want to see her win Senate, and we love the Seth Leibson show. So we're here to talk about our Clear View. We just did our third episode today.
Yes, and we love the truth and. I think more and more people are turning off the news, we hope, and tuning in to voices that they trust for truth.
Good, 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 good. People want to tune in, want to check it out. Where do they go? Rumble? Is that the first place you send them?
Yep.
They do Rumble. We do Instagram.
Wonderful.
Well, Rumble.
Okay,
we're pushing Rumble.
Rumble. Yeah, we're pushing. Push, we're going to push Rumble.
We'll push Rumble. That's fine. And it's called The Clear View, and that's fantastic. I love the idea to talk what you love. Talk about what you love. I love that. Mark
Twain said,
"We're
the antithesis of the view."
Yes, I love it. You're the clear view.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. I don't know if that show, the Whoopi Goldberg show, I don't know if people watch it to make fun of it or if there are serious people who take that seriously.
Well, it's definitely not for fashion ideas.
Oh, pajamas.
Or for how to snag a hot dude.
Exactly. Or to learn about science and the eclipse because you think it's climate change or Donald Trump's fault.
Or the cicadas. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think the majority of people that watch it now are people that are watching it just to be able to talk about it.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm sure there's a few diehards that actually believe this stuff.
But, you know, it's only one or two clicks to the wrong or to the left or to the biased of every other major outlet and network of news. It's really only one or two clicks to the idiocy of that. Really, it is.
I agree.
That's
no,
so
I,
true.
You read, I
it's
mean,
so
you guys,
true.
You guys have all been, you gals have always been, for a long time, you've been in and around the news. You've had stories written about you. You know about a lot of different areas. And there's this interesting phenomenon. It's called Gell-Mann amnesia. Michael Crichton, the novelist, came up with it. And it's if you ever, like, open the Arizona Republic or any newspaper and you read a story either about yourself or someone you know or some other issue you know about, And you see there are things wrong in it, things you just know the reporter, the journalist got wrong, whether it's, again, about you, someone you know, or an issue you know about. What is this phenomenon that we know this goes on when we recognize things in a story that are wrong, and then we'll flip the page or three pages or four pages on a whole other story, maybe, I don't know, about war or something in the Middle East or whatever, China, anything else. And we think that's accurate. We forget that they get things wrong all the time when we know about them. That grain of salt is called Gell-Mann amnesia. We forget that they're always wrong, but they're almost always wrong. They're almost always wrong. Mm-hmm. And unlike formats like yourselves, like you two have, and with your colleagues or I have, we can correct ourselves. We can have callers call in and correct us. We have emails, and we're not shy about it because we want to get things. We want the credibility, don't we?
Yes.
We have some shame about this, don't we?
Yes.
We want people to know that we're telling the truth.
Yeah.
And that we're delivering something that will help them or enhance their lives or educate them. Mm-hmm. And also to improve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. To be able to better people's lives with the truth, so that they can make better decisions and all the things, live better. But what everything you just talked about, propaganda.
Yeah.
It's a propaganda machine.
That's what it is.
And it's insane.
And it starts in our schools. It starts, I'm just passionate about how we treat young people in this country, because it really does condition them to be subject to propaganda. C.S. Lewis has this great line, to miseducate the youth is to subject them to greater propaganda as they get older. And when you don't know things, when you go through an elementary and secondary or collegiate education system such as we have today that is based on half-truths and propaganda, what do we expect to get from the people who come out of the journalism schools? What do we expect from the rest? I mean, don't you spend – you ladies are privileged probably because most of your friends probably are in your circle of general agreement. But don't you find it difficult when you have a discussion with someone who's not on the same page as you, how much remedial education you have to walk them through, how much they don't know about the issue that they think they know something about, be it Donald Trump or anything? Isn't it amazing how much time you have to spend?
Not only that, how they get these two little X's,
yeah,
and not any more of the alphabet over their eyes.
Right.
So they can't see, read, hear, learn. And yeah, I have a lot of friends still from California that I have to – I started using sign language.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not working so well either.
They don't want to know.
They don't want to know. They don't like being wrong.
It's called invincible ignorance. Mm-hmm. It's hard to penetrate sometimes.
Invincible ignorance.
I think it's a combination of biblical truth that people – get so deluded that God actually hardens their hearts and they have scales on their eyes and they're not capable. And there's so much pride and arrogance in thinking that any of us know it all.
Yeah.
To me, it's a massive pride issue,
yeah,
for anyone to think you're that smart,
right,
all the time.
And they do. The left does suffer this,
yes,
in a big, bad way. You see it at NPR. You see the elitist notions of journalists who despise what we do, you know, because they think, well, we have editors, you guys don't have editors, we've been trained, you guys were never trained. All that training and all those editors aren't worth a damn to me. They get things wrong all the time.
All the time.
I put our record up against theirs any day of the week. They're still, I mean, you know, they take election denial. This one really bothers me.
Ooh.
The big lie, supposedly. And they just elide. They just go right over 4 years of Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff denying the 2016 election and inventing a document to give them the basis for that lie. And no journalist ever calls them out on it, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know why Adam Schiff is still in office and not in jail, and why people who innocently protested something are in jail.
Mm.
And
I know why. It's orchestrated. It's a perfect storm to scare the rest of us, or try to scare the rest of us to never stand up for anything again.
It's intimidation.
It's absolutely 3.5 years without a trial. It's intimidation.
It's making me stronger.
Yeah.
I want to get out there and talk about what's really happening.
Do you think it's making other people stronger too, who aren't, you know, predetermined to vote Republican?
Do you think it's? Do you think people are looking at the injustice? I think there is some of it because you've seen it with Donald Trump's poll numbers with the indictments, right? The more indictments, the higher his numbers go. So I think there is some of.
I think there's a swelling like a tsunami that's going to be coming in.
Good.
Because that's,
I think it's
like,
all going to backfire.
It's backfire. And when they said today that he couldn't go to his son's
high school graduation, every parent can associate
it's like,
with that.
What?
I want to pick up on that when we come back, the unfairness in society with both of you. We have to take a quick commercial break, and I will be back with Tina Hillstrom and Brandi Barclay when we come right back. Go ahead. Sing it out. Why not? You got the voice. You can sing.
I'm trying to remember.
No, I'm just kidding.
Who sings
this? This is Paul McCartney.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, I have a crush on him.
You do?
I used to dream that he used to look through my windows and watch me clean the dishes when my mother made me
ended the sentence that way. Tina Hillstrom and Brandi Barclay are my guests.
Washing the dishes.
That's the price you pay for making Whoopi is the song we should use. He's washing dishes in his evening clothes. He's so ambitious that it even shows something like that. They are the co-hosts of the Clearview podcast. We're talking about Trump and basically two rules of justice and fairness in this country that you see with the indictments and the trials and whether it's the J6 defendants or whether it's Donald Trump. And then you see Democrat and liberal and leftist after Democrat, liberal and leftist get away with shouting everything from death to America to exploiting their national security credentials like Adam Schiff to perpetuate a lie repeatedly with no consequence. It's my belief, you ladies tell me what you think about this, that with all the divisions in this country, of which there are many, if there's one thing most Americans kind of have beating in their breast, it's a sense of fairness.
Mm.
They at least, if they're not fair themselves, they believe in the notion of fairness.
Sure.
And they look at what's going on to the degree we can get the message out about what's going on, and they see a fundamental unfairness. They don't like bullies in this country. Tina, your thoughts on that, and then Brandi.
I agree they don't like bullies. And I'm also seeing my friends who used to always complain and bitch about Trump all of a sudden a little quieter on the left because they are watching a railroad job and they are now fearful that that could happen to them because they are business owners. They know how much their buildings were worth and they know what they had to put in front of a bank to do a business deal. And there was nobody hurt or any crime committed and everything was fine and the bills were paid off. They are seeing a level of like brown shirtism.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that term.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeing the DA in California mm-hmm. ruining their state. Mm-hmm. Now they're complaining about it. So then they voted for somebody else and that person didn't get in. And they're wondering why. There was no way because they didn't meet anybody that wanted the guy that's in there now. And so they're confused by the system that we've been saying is fixed and corrupt, and they're starting to see it.
They're starting to see it. Brandi, your thoughts on this?
Yes, I believe that we were all created by a creator who put whatever some people like to call it, gut intuition. I believe it's the power of the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom of what's right and wrong. Unfortunately, they want to censor everyone aligned with that because censoring morality helps them. We have a censorship right now on morality. And every problem we're talking about could be solved if every single person followed the Ten Commandments every day, all day long.
I think we should add that we should have more than Ten Commandments.
Well, I think God's going to get mad and put us in the corner and spank our butts and say, you get more commandments.
You need more rules.
Jews have 613.
Which, see?
But it makes life a little long.
Oh my,
or hard.
Oh, my gosh. That's fun.
Got it.
No, but we crave boundaries. We need boundaries. I mean, it's Lord of the Flies. Without that, we know that humans are not good. I know, okay, ready, Democrats? You're not that good. There's not a single good person who is blameless on this planet. We have to understand God created us to need him, to need boundaries. And When you don't have them, evil doesn't stop itself. And that's why good guys have to get louder.
That's why my credit card only lets me go so far on it. I have boundaries on my credit card.
Did God do that or Brad?
Well, both.
Okay.
Whatever.
Well, your husband, Brad, is a doctor. He thinks he's God. There's a joke in there somewhere, right?
Exactly.
Somewhere in there, there's a joke. Tina.
We love you, Big Brad.
Sort of true.
Barkley. The guardrails that you mentioned, this is a serious issue. And it may make our politics even harder because there's two data points that worry me greatly. There's several, but these two probably explain a lot. First of all, we are at a historic low marriage rate in this country. Mm. Marriage rate has decreased about 50%.
Because girls quit wearing high heels.
Well, maybe. And we can come back to that.
And they started having sex before marriage.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. No, I mean, I think there has been a huge denigration of the notion of marriage. I remember I was debating the gay marriage issue back when that was a debatable thing with a friend of mine who's a gay rights activist and very clever. And I was talking to him about, you know, the weakening of marriage or the weakening of the institution of marriage. And you know what he said to me?
What?
He said, "How are you heterosexuals doing? I just read about Britney Spears getting married for a whole week." Mm. And I said, "Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's not just a gay thing. It's a heterosexual thing. It's an everything. The institute vows don't mean what they used to mean. They used to be promises.
Our word doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And it used to be that it was really prestigious to have a sense of honor and dignity.
Right.
And there was a beauty to it.
Right.
And they've taken it away.
Yep.
We should bring it back in fashion.
Well, who took it away? I think the devil took the devil's after it. If first of all,
mainstream media.
God created marriage, and he created it really. I always say it's not just I dig this person. It's not that. It's I love this person so much that I want God's covering protection, and that's the whole thing. People don't go into it anymore as an idea as. Is I'm being obedient to God and getting his blessing on my life. They look at it as, does this make sense for me? Am I going to get bored? Yeah, you are. I've been married 25 years. Some days are boring. Some days are irritating. But people lack discipline now. They don't want anything uncomfortable at all. Look at kids that are in fifth grade that weigh 200 pounds because forever, a multitude of reasons. There is this, it is a moral decay. God is out of things. And marriage was designed for God to say, come to me, let's the three of us unite in a lifelong partnership of blessing. And people don't, all they hear is the negative parts about it. And sometimes it is, but I can tell you, married to my best friend.
I'm telling you, I heard this song in high school and I knew that we were in trouble. And it was that song that goes, "Love the One You're With."
Yeah, Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Right? Yeah. "Love the One You're With." I'm just like, wait. I'm not going to let my boyfriend hear that song. And because he's going to get ideas.
Yeah.
And he did.
And he did. It gets me to the second thing that worries me, and it may determine a lot of, or may predetermine a lot of what you're saying too, Brandy, and it's church attendance. Mm-hmm. Listen to this statistic. This should frighten. In the last 30 years, more people have left the church in America than joined it in the first Great Awakening, in the second Great Awakening, and in every Billy Graham crusade combined. More people in America have left the church in the last 30 years than joined it in the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening, and every Billy Graham crusade combined. Let's talk about what that means for a society when we come back on the other side of this break, if we can. Tina Hillstrom and Brandy Barclay are my guests. They are the co-hosts, two of the co-hosts on the Clear View podcast, which you can get at Rumble and anywhere else your fingers do the typing that find it. We'll be right back.
All right. I picture my favorite president right now.
This is Donald Trump music.
It is Donald Trump music, yes.
The Village People, YMCA.
Yeah.
He dances to this song at the rallies, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's groovy.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Brandy Barclay and Tina Hillstrom are my guests. The Clearview podcast is their show. Institutions that are crumbling, Brandy. You can speak first on this and then I'll have Tina comment on it. But we were talking about the marriage rate in the previous segment, but also church attendance. In the last 30 years,
More people have left the church in America than joined in the first two Great Awakenings and every Billy Graham crusade. That's hard to have a society that, well, as Alexis de Tocqueville said, religion is the first of our institutions in this country and people are fleeing it. It's hard to keep a civil society civil.
It's heartbreaking, and it look around us.
Yeah, right.
This is the evidence of that, right? I'm not saying church is perfect by any means. I'm saying you should find a good one where someone, a pastor, is going to tell you the truth, no matter what it looks like for his attendance or the pocketbook of the church. I think America got tired of that stuff. And instead of saying, I still need to go and worship a good God, I'm going to bash the church, bash the people. Looking for perfection will always mess you up. But I think that what happened too is the positivity movement, the self-help movement. And, you know, if you can go home and read a book and tell yourself you're great in the mirror, mm-hmm. and that's enough, it is not. I think that's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a huge revival coming back where people realize, I do need God. I need more. I'm not a self-help guru. Yeah. The best self-help is at the throne of God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He wired us. He knows your dreams better than you know your dreams. And I that's my entire ministry, is teaching women, know who you are as a daughter or son of God before you can know anything else. Because then you have a value that you're not trying to get out in the world. And you have to agree with all this crazy. When you know the truth, you're solid in the truth. You're rock solid. You stand on a firm rock that doesn't move. It is timely and timeless. And they've tried to turn the Bible into something obsolete. And the church bought into it for a minute, brought in Starbucks, brought in entertainment. We need the truth. People need the truth.
And when you do rely on God rather than self-help, it's an interesting phrase you used there that's used everywhere. The difference is you're looking to something else, some other standard, some other reliable standard of right and wrong or good and bad, other than what your own emotional well-being is, right? It's not about feeling good right now. It's about doing good and ultimately feeling good. Tina, any thoughts? You're very welcome good. To.
Well, I raised a Catholic. I'll never forget when I did my first communion. I was so excited. And we all lined up before we went down the long aisle to get that wafer, and I was the last one in line, and I was waiting for my mother to put on my veil, and I noticed everyone had a short veil on and I was the only one with a long veil. So a tear was streaming down my eye, and I was praying, dear God, how did this happen to my mom? Could I find a scissors? I just want to cut this off. Please, please, please. And all of a sudden, I'm like, where's my mother? Where's my mother? She had run out and got me a short veil, threw it on my head. I cheered up. I was the happiest moment of my life getting communion. Now, this was before pre-Vatican, before 1962 when everything changed. And when they brought in the guitars and they changed everything. And my dad, we left the Catholic Church and went Episcopalian. Was a tonier set of people, I have to admit. So, whatever. It was a social thing. I find churches to be, you know, people make their own rules up. My dad also was going through a divorce. So he wasn't recognized by the Catholics anymore as a Catholic. So he had to bend his own rules. And so when they have certain rules and you don't adhere to them, and here's the breakdown of the marriage. It used to be difficult to get a divorce. Now it's easy to get a divorce. So you got the breakdown of the marriage, the breakdown of the church. Then you got priests are a little frustrated.
Yeah.
I don't need to go any further with that story because it makes me sad. So I then converted to Judaism for a second husband, and I learned more about my Catholic faith than I did So I've decided that the Jews and the Catholics are like an old married couple. They should get back together and start a new church, synagogue.
Well, you said this was a short segment. We'll have a longer one coming up in a second. But I wanted to pick up on something that was one of you said. America got tired of that. So did the churches get tired of their missions too, in some respect? Not all of them, but there is a crisis in the churches too in America, isn't there? Who wrote the open letter to the American church recently, a letter to the American church?
Oh, yeah. Eric Metaxas?
Eric Metaxas.
So
right.
Good.
Getting into that. We'll get into that when we come right back with Tina Hillstrom and Brandy Barclay.
Come around and talk it over.
Brandi Barclay and Tina Hillstrom are my guests. They are co-hosts of a great podcast, new podcast, The Clear View. Please check it out. And I think we can get rid of paying ASCAP and BMI for our bumper music if you'll just come in and sing it for us, Barclay. This is, you've been doing great. So
sorry, I'm inspired by your playlist. It's good.
People come for the talk. It's fun. For the music. I'm trying to bring back AM rock. Tina, you remember AM rock?
I remember AM rock,
yeah,
very
of course,
well.
Sure.
When I listened to the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. And
what was your first concert?
First an airplane. My ever, first ever? Concert was Moody Blues.
Was it Moody Blues?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember your first concert?
I do.
What was it?
I kind of always lie about it. But my first one was Kenny Loggins, front row at the State Fair.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I like
and we,
him.
And we caught a sweaty towel. And then my mom washed it.
Why would she do something
she did.
Like
it was
that?
An accident.
It was an accident.
I think of Kenny Loggins, I think of Caddyshack.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, I yeah. think of so many soundtracks.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Dig it.
What were Guardrails and the Church. America got tired, you said, Brandi, a little bit. America got tired of the church stuff. But the church, it seems, a lot of the church, and I speak of this with some diffidence because my last name is Leibson, but the church got tired of some stuff too, didn't it? It kind of got political. Not the church, but a lot of churches, didn't they? And they started watering down the message. And it became more about soothing the emotions rather than strengthening the morals in too many cases. Fair?
I think so. And I think that, I mean, I was born in 73. So, you know, I like to speak from my experience. But when I'm not saying that church shouldn't stay relevant and shouldn't move, right? I mean, hello, I have a ministry where we serve margaritas at night. I mean, because it's called the ultimate happy hour. We're trying to reach a gap space of women that don't feel comfortable in the buttoned up, churchy, judgy setting. Mm-hmm. And I do think that a lot of Christians walk around with a gavel. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think Christians need to start trusting Almighty God, who is sovereign, that everyone will eventually be judged by. And I think that people are, they don't want to feel worse than they already do. Mm-hmm. So they stay away from church because it's like big brother or dad's house, right?
I agree with that because when you're at Catholic church, the priest gets to drink the wine, we don't. So I'm out of here.
I left. Non de non for me. Just saying.
Say a word about your ministry, the margarita thing.
Okay. Oh, see, Seth wants to come already. See what happens when you say margaritas. I'm just kidding.
Is it only for women?
It is, okay. But it's
expanding. A good idea. No,
it
think,
is expanding.
I think
it
idea.
Is expanding. Yeah. It's called Power Soul, called Power Soul Clubhouse. It came from the Power Soul Experience show and all that. But I was having a moment with the Lord where COVID was happening. I thought I need to do something. I think when you're doing things, instead of just sitting around complaining, it's always better. I was going to get involved in church, and I felt the Lord impress upon my heart, what would you want if you were all of a sudden having to homeschool your kids, you're fighting with your husband about money, what would you need? Mm-hmm. And I know what I would want a lot of times is I would want happy hour with my friends. Mm-hmm. I'd want a happy hour and a margarita. Mm-hmm. And so instead of women doing that and putting themselves at more risk for more pain and just venting and being negative and going home the same way, we invited the Lord to these nights. Nice. And amazing things happen. When you stop being a Pharisee religious person and you start loving people where they are, really teaching them who God is rather than who the people are that want to hold the rules.
Tina, you, you're very active politically in town.
Yes.
And across the country.
Yes.
What's the pitch you would make to people who aren't that political, or at least don't become political till like the last week of October and start thinking about things? What's the pitch you would make to them to support people like Donald Trump and Carrie Lake?
I would remind them that we're here to better the country, and it isn't about America first. It's about, it's not about America only. It's America first is because that's our country. It isn't like my family first. It's about, and it is, my family does come first, but it's not only my family. I want to wrap people and embrace them and show them how much better off we were when Donald Trump was running things because he had a respect and a love for our country. When you respect something, and you love it, you take care of it.
That's right.
And if you take care of America, then you can open your doors to those who are running away from third world countries and oppression. But if you're letting just anybody in, like right now, I think Biden's at 7.6 million encounters since he took office. Yeah. And you got Mayorkas, who's in the middle of an impeachment, which is turning into a 535 car crash on the highway because they're going to get nothing done. It's just going to, like, everybody's going to sign in, and that's the end of it. We need a country that is taken care of. If I don't take care of my house or my laundry or my car, it breaks down, gets awful and dirty, and that's what they're doing. They're doing that to our country. They are dirtying up our country. They're letting it rust out, fall apart, and if you don't love it, it'll go away.
You know what was kind of sad to me? Maybe it's a small story, but maybe it's a small story about a big thing. I was talking to someone at a, I don't know, reception or cocktail party or something, and I'm not good at small talk, so I usually ask where people are from. You know, it's not that original. But they said, oh, L.A., and I said, where in L.A.? Because I know L.A. a little bit. And she said, oh, it's a place no one would go to anymore. It's not a place anyone would go to anymore. And then she said, where? And I just thought, you know, we just say these things now about places in America. We just write them off as if no one would go there anymore. How does that happen? We have major cities and major parts of major cities where people just write off. They've just given up on that part of America.
Well, they've ruined San Francisco. They've ruined L.A. They've ruined Oakland. Oh my gosh, everything's closing there. It's, and so bottom line is, you look at the middle of California from the north of Orange County all the way up to San Francisco, they trashed it.
But it's sad because if you live in a neighborhood, you would think, you know, running away from it, what, again, this goes back to people are too afraid now to say anything or do anything because they'll be the one put in jail instead of the squatter.
No.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The cops will arrest you for going 60 miles in a 55 zone on the 10 or on the 405 and watch just a group of homeless or illegals shooting up fentanyl across the street and won't touch them.
That's right.
Nothing.
Right. But the taxpayer gets arrested or gets the ticket.
Because if they get if they arrest them, because then they get called racist. Everything you do now is racist. You know, if I pick up oranges and I don't pick up apples, I'm a racist.
It's insane. They don't really
want equity.
They don't want to help the American people. They want to stay in power.
Yeah.
And the more power the average Joe loses, the more they gain. It has nothing to do with them helping anybody.
We have one more short segment. Are you ladies here for that?
Yes,
of course.
We'll take a quick commercial break and we'll conclude the hour and the show with Brandi Barclay and Tina Hillstrom, co-hosts of The Clear View. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. This has just been such a delight for me having Brandi Barclay and Tina Hillstrom, two great friends, in studio talking about their new podcast, The Clear View. Tina, people tune into it. What are they going to get? What are they going to hear?
They're going to hear five girls who love to talk about America. They love to talk about fashion. They love to correct all the wrong things that you heard on The View. They like to talk about fake news CNN. They like to talk about how champagne comes out of their pens sometimes when they're doing business deals. They talk about real estate, interest rates. They talk about high heels or wearing flats. Just make sure you get them at Neiman Marcus. Just kidding. Well, actually, I'm not. But we actually do have a quest. We want to make sure that there's a little bit more truth out there because we really feel that fake news influences people the wrong way. And we do like that the pendulum is starting to swing, especially with the younger sets. You are hearing that the conservative thing is coming back. 70% of kids coming out of high school right now don't want to go to college because they don't like the influence of college.
Good.
And that's good.
Brandi, novelist Flannery O'Connor said you have to push as hard against the age or culture as pushes against you. And everything your colleague and friend, our friend Tina, just said
girls being girls, girls talking about feminine things, talking about America. That's in its own way pushing against the culture, isn't it?
Oh, you just nailed it. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's women being women.
Yeah.
And actually talking about men and loving masculinity and caring about our kids and caring about our country and talking about the daily topics like The View does without the asinine...
Low IQ.
Without the crazy.
Yeah.
And calling it out.
Yeah.
And having fun doing that. And hopefully people can tune in to hear some like-minded women and instead be encouraged instead of being so discouraged by everything else they're hearing.
You don't believe masculinity is toxic over at the Clear View?
No. We love men. we love men. We love them a lot. And we also don't believe in lobotomies, and we think everyone on The View has had one in order to.
There has
have
been
a show.
An invasion of the brain snatchers in this country. Something has gone
brain
on.
Brain snatchers.
Adam Carolla said COVID took out a lot of people, most of them still alive. I love that. I love that.
That is hilarious.
Isn't that a great line?
That's a good line.
Oh my gosh, ladies, it's so good having you here. Folks, thanks for spending some of your day, your afternoon, and your hour with us. We take none of you for granted or it. On behalf of Brandy Barclay and Tina Hillstrom and Young David and Mr. Bill and Terry and the rest of you, until tomorrow, I am Seth Leibson. God bless you all. Class is dismissed.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.